Hello, bonjour, and marhaba. Welcome to episode 5. This is the final show of this season. Smig on the mic. We plan something very special for you today. We means, like you already know, I'm not alone. I'm supported by my best friend and right-wing Flap Flap. Hello, Flap Flap.
Oh, Smig, how true. And I'm really looking forward to today's grand finale. Although, of course, I'm also sad in a way that this will already be our last show.
Oh, yes, of course. But tell me, Flap, how are you today?
Oh, you know, I feel pitch-fantastic as usual, Smig. Full from the past holidays, but pitch-fantastic through and through. Of course, I still brought some hunger for knowledge with me. What about you, Smigler?
Yeah, like you know, Flap, I'm always hungry to learn something about pigeons. Flap, one of the big questions I have for you is, how far are you with your pigeon loft?
After I would have learned in the past podcasts now everything worth knowing about pigeon breeding, it's only missing the animals. And partly still the consent of my beloved wife. But the planning stands and we are so far in the final phase of realization. I hope that with the help of this series, our listeners could get access to the whole topic and start building their own lofts.
I hope you too, yes. So maybe we need to do a second season to convince your wife as well to keep pigeons, I see. Yeah, joking aside, let's talk about our episode today. We already told you in an older show to ask some questions about pigeons. Maybe we forgot to tell you where you should send these questions, or there are no newbies in our audience. Finally, we got one question.
Yeah, but a good one.
Oh yes, it's really a good question. It was written by Adi Ruby over Instagram, and I would say, yeah, listen to it. Here it is.
Ciao, Smig. Hi, Flap Flap.
Hello, Smig. Hi, Flap Flap. I just listened to episode 3. Where Smig said to ask some questions. I listened to some birds one morning and I got curious about the communication of birds in general, but specifically pigeons. And I thought, who can answer this question better than some experts like you? Thank you, keep going, it's informative and entertaining.
Yeah, thank you very much, Adi, for your question.
So, let us first talk about the communication of the pigeon in general. Mm-hmm. There are less information about in the internet. That's why I want to ask you, Smig, what can you tell me and our audience about the communication of racing pigeons?
Mm-hmm. Well, also for me it's hard to find information about this topic, but I can tell you what I observe when I'm in the loft. Maybe you know that I have an Instagram account called racingpigeons.ch.
Of course, of course.
Here I post every day a picture from our loft taken by myself with a Canon SLR cam. Mm-hmm. During these photo sessions, I have a lot of time to observe the pigeons in their behavior, and as well already talked about, pigeons are very territorial animals, and that's what I observe all the time. They walk around, and if another pigeon is too close to imagine like an imaginary circle around the pigeon, in computer games we would say, oh no, I pulled him. So, and that is what happens all the time in the loft. They sit in distance on their seats or in their box, start to make a round from time to time. It's a kind of exploring the map, if we want to compare it again with computer games, because maybe they can find something which they want to control. They try to control just anything. Drinkers, seats, food bowls, and so on. So, and now, if you imagine all this, let's call it security circles around the pigeons. It's like a fight all day. What's very interesting about this, if you let them out for a flight around the house or another flight, it doesn't matter, they don't show this behavior during the flight. We don't see them picking themselves, on the contrary. They start working together to fly in a nice flock, mm-hmm. where the humans are thinking that this needs a lot of organization.
Okay, I think we get closer to an answer for the question of Adi, but how do the pigeons can't fly in a flock without crashing?
The pigeons, but also other birds fly in dense swarms and show an impressively synchronized flight maneuver. Mm-hmm. The formation of flocks is mainly for security, to be able to react to attacks by prey to confuse the attacker. Mm-hmm. There is no leader in the group. By changing the flight position in the swarm, the leader is constantly exchanged.
Mm-hmm. I can think of some structures where a more frequent foster change wouldn't be a bad thing either.
I see what you're thinking about, Flap. It takes a lot of organization and communication for this behavior. However, mm-hmm. the animals have a very different reaction time than humans. Birds need about 15 milliseconds to react from mm-hmm. neighbor to neighbor.
Whoa.
Each bird has about 15 neighbors in view, but always orients itself towards the center as well. Mm-hmm. It is often very impressive to watch a flock of starlings as they make their way to their roost in the evening. Beautiful mm-hmm. pictures can be created, a miracle yes. of nature.
Yes, so, I saw this. Yeah.
So let me summarize. A crazy organization with constant communication and very fast reaction time makes it possible that the pigeons can fly in the flock without hindering each other.
Mm-hmm. So, Smik, this was the only question we received. Should we already finish this podcast? Do you know what my grandfather always said?
No, stop. Stop. We call this show Pigeon Sport All Over the World. Uh-huh. And that's because we still want to be the podcast for pigeon newbies. And in pigeon sport, it's important to know that keeping pigeons in California, for example, is mm-hmm. not the same like keeping pigeons in Ireland.
Yes, of course. But Smik, tell me, how do you want to know how it is to keep pigeons in California?
Not me, but somebody from California.
Oh, so we can speak for people from California already?
You know, during our long breaks between our shows, I organized some guests for the final show. I thought, let us have a look on some details by asking some pigeon fanciers around the globe.
Oh, you're a really Schweinehund. You didn't, did you? So tell me, Smik, you've asked the same questions to different pigeon fanciers around the world to show the differences in the pigeon sport?
Yes, exactly, Flap. That's what we want to do for the rest of this show.
Even after all this time, you still can't surprise me, Smik.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing this show, Flap. To lead you into an enchanting world of wonder. Let's explain it mm-hmm. shortly. I asked some questions to three different fanciers. Mm-hmm. They don't know each other, and like this, we can show up the differences or the parallels in the pigeon sport.
I'm incredibly happy right now. I think I'm about to shit bricks of joy. Thank you, Smik. And also a huge thank you to our guests.
Yeah, you're welcome, Flap. I'm always glad to make you happy. So let's start with our guests now. Mm-hmm. We have Salem from Dubai, Sykes from California, and Crawlis from Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I would say they should directly start to introduce themselves.
Hello, everyone. My name is Salem Al-Katbi. Al-Katbi Loft. I am from the Emirates, United Arab Emirates, from the city of Al-Ain.
Hello, my name is Sykes Torado, and I live in Sacramento, California, in the United States.
My name is Crawlis Solomon. I was born in Egypt, and I moved to Ireland when I was very young. I'm 23, and I currently am studying my final year in veterinary medicine, 6-year master's degree.
Thank you very much, guys, and welcome to our podcast. So, we are now going to ask them some questions, and they will answer them in the same order they've introduced themselves. Means we start with Salem from Dubai, then we have Sykes from California, and last but not least, Crawlis from Ireland.
Great. So, first question. How did you find your way to the pigeon sport, and for how long you're already into this?
I take care of pigeons and love to raise them since childhood.
2023 will be my 20th year in raising pigeons. Back in 2003, I went to San Francisco to visit a friend. And when I was there, I could hear pigeons cooing from the backyard. My friend Jan So and his father George So flew together as a team. And since I was young, I've always been a bird lover. So naturally, when I saw the racing pigeons and the loft, I wanted my own. 3 weeks later, I had my own racing pigeons.
A lot of people asked me actually this question. When did I start raising pigeons and when did I start racing? And I'm very lucky and privileged to have found this animal in my life. Otherwise, I don't know how I'd be currently. But I'm really happy to have them in my life. They've been a source for my stress-free. And a lot of people that actually go into racing pigeon, it's like a virus. They don't leave it. And it's just, once it's in there, it will never leave. So I bought my first pair of pigeons. And I didn't know anything about racing pigeons. I just liked pigeons. I just like birds flying. So I was like, okay, I'll buy two white racing pigeons, doves, who are just the same thing as pigeons, but just because of the size, they're called doves. But so I bought these doves, and I started off with two in 2015. It was November 2015, I can remember, and they were white Logans, white racing pigeons. And I ended up, after 2 years, I had at least 20. I was not so experienced, I didn't know anything, I was learning from scratch. And that was it. I started with white Logan pigeons in 2015 and got to learn a lot about racing pigeon. And it was 2020 where I was introduced to the club, and I raced my first race in 2021, Young Bird Race, where I can still remember the moment last year. My birds all arrived from the race. They were doing very good, but they stayed on the roof. I sucked at trapping, and that's how I lost my first race. Even though my birds were just, they could have won first place. But I got 4th, 5th and 6th, and I was very happy. And then the second race, I got 2nd, 3rd and 5th. And then my third race in the Young Bird season, which was actually my final race last year, I got 1st, 2nd and 3rd. And I was very happy with my first club, and it was my first year in racing.
Are you a member of an association? And if yes, what's the name?
I participate in racing pigeons in the Lion Pigeon Club.
I am a member of the ARPU, which is the American Racing Pigeon Union.
Saying that, I've been part of the Racing Pigeon Society for 2 years. I joined the club here in Ireland, my local club, and this year was probably one of my best successful race seasons. Even though it was my second race season that was full, last year I only raced half season, which was Young Bird season, and it was only 3 races. This season I raced all the races, most of the races, and I managed to be second best in the club, even though my birds could have done way better if they trapped a lot faster. That was the only problem. With the Young Bird season this year, I managed to trap on time. I also didn't have a clock, an ETS clock, and that's why I might have lost a few precious seconds. So I used the manual clock, not the ETS system, which was the automatic one where the bird just comes on the board and it clicks and it's home, and that's it. You don't need to catch the bird. But I've been in this club for 2 years, and it was my final race in September where I finished with a first club with a recessive red. People do think that colored pigeons don't race, but if you do go over into Lifestyle of Kiki, you will see that all my pigeons are kind of colored. and there's a few blue bars, but I've done so good with all my colored. Of course, you lose a few, which is the selection, natural selection. So if you lose a few, that's okay. But as long as you have a few coming very well, you're guaranteed you will win with very special colors.
What kind of races you do? And how does your season look like? Sprint, short, middle, long distance? And how many races do you have? And which system you fly?
We have different distance to race. We race from short distance until middle distance, from 90 kilo until 400 kilo. And this year I make new plan for training, new plan for everything, for food, training, medicines, supplements, everything I make new. Last year I make another plan, this year I make another plan.
I no longer race pigeons locally in the club. When I first entered the sport, I flew for 5 years between 2004 through 2009. I flew young birds and old birds. For young birds, I used the light system to get my birds through the molt. Young birds was a 7 week season ranging from 100 to 300 miles. Before the young bird season started, I would separate the sexes. Some weeks I let the birds spend time together before basketing, and other weeks they would only see each other after they arrived home from the race. For old birds, it was a 10-week season, races ranging from 100 to 600 miles. I flew my old birds to a similar method as young birds, flying both sexes and keeping them separate. 1 year I flew widowhood cocks and won 9 out of 16 races, flying only 16 widowers.
So in Ireland, as it is, there is two kinds of races. There is the inland races and there's the channel races. I did try to compete in the channel races this year, but unfortunately I sent two birds and I never got them back from the UK. It was Ben Zanz. Of course, it was my first time, so it wasn't, maybe my birds weren't as good. They weren't built for channel races, but my inland races were very well. They were within 150 miles, something like that, 200 miles maximum inland, because I'm racing south, which doesn't really make sense because it's short. If I turn north road, it's going to be more difficult towards Scotland, Northern Ireland, Scotland. It's probably better. So if I do get back into racing, I probably will turn north road. It will be more challenging. But with the channel races, you have a few spots: Telbany, Penzance, and there is Saint Malo, France. And that's a really nice one. I would really like to win Saint Malo, France, but I don't have the birds at the moment. I did buy in two birds that were doing very well, the John Ardens, and if I did get back into racing, I would definitely send them over there. And they're from a very good guy who actually has won. He has the best long distance pigeons. Due to the fact that I'm away at university a lot of the times, I didn't want to do a widowhood system. I would have loved to have it because I know it's very successful. I do have now the system for it. And my new loft is very well built for a widowhood system. But I prefer to stay natural, because it was much more easier for my mom to handle the birds while I'm away. And when we raced, it was better to race on the natural. We did as good, but I recommend changing around the systems, because it actually makes the bird think a bit. Because otherwise, if they stay on natural, they understand the trick. If they stay on widowhood trick, the widowhood system, they'll stay on the widowhood and they'll understand the system and they kind of slow down.
Do you join one loft races? And if yes, which ones? If no, why not?
I joined this year Brothers One Loft Race. It's in Oman, in Arab Gulf.
I primarily only focus on one loft racing now. In the past, I've competed in South Africa Million Dollar Race, Victoria Falls, and Hoosier Million Dollar Race. Currently, I fly Black Gold Race, Texas Dash for Cash, Cuevas Classic, Apple Cup, American Grand National, just to name a few.
Am I a member of the One Loft Race Association. Saying that, so let's actually just do a recap. What is One Loft Race? So everybody all around the world breeds youngsters, and then they send them, so they're like 40-50 day old. So you send them to a place, just one allocated place, wherever it's going to be, just say the UK or Portugal, and everybody sends their team. So I sent 6, you send 6, someone else sends 6, and then all the birds then gather in that one place, and then they start to compete. They all compete and they all race the same races. They all get the same training, the same treatment, everything. So there is no excuse. But it also is very challenging because you're competing against the best of the best. Everybody's sending their best. They want to win. So then when you start the races, you have to be placing between the first 50 birds or something like that to actually get some prize money. And I decided next year, because I'm not going to be racing club anymore, I decided to send to One Loft Race. It's Who Dare Wins in the UK, England. And I'm very excited because I think I have the birds to win. Of course, I cannot be cocky going in. I just need to have luck, which I think is a matter of trapping again over there. Hopefully, the birds will be quick, and I'll just need to watch them from far, and that's it. I don't need to touch them. I don't need to do anything. And it's very simple. You just put whatever the price it is to enter for a team, and you just put in that money, and you wish for luck. A lot of people are winning money from it, and I think the best do. And I think the fact that I have been placing very well in my club, I think I have a good chance.
How is your pigeon loft made of? And if you would say there is something very special or very cool in your loft, what is it?
Now I build a new loft, new one, because the last one I have problem with wind. The sand, all sand, it came inside, and my pigeons all have sick.
My loft is 28 by 14, primarily constructed of wood. The roof consists of composite shingles. It has plenty of windows and a ridge vent that stretches the length of the loft to allow for proper ventilation. The windows also allow a lot of natural light to enter into the loft. During the off season, the cocks and hens have separate sections, with each having their own walk-in aviary. I think the most reactions or compliments I get about my loft are my breeding compartments. The entire back wall is made of 20 individual compartments that stretch from end to end.
What is my loft made of? That's a very good question. I would like to start off though with saying that a loft is a home for a pigeon. It's a place where it provides shelter, clean environment, well ventilated, and well lit. Of course, a very good racing pigeon fancier is cleaning his loft once a day. Some people that like myself have little time to do that. We might do it 2-3 times a week, which is very good, but you have to be on top of this. It's important. So I think cleaning the loft is one of the most important aspect in racing pigeon. Not only that, well ventilated loft is more important for your health, so you don't develop any lung diseases, and also for the ventilation. You want to go in, you want to smell fresh air. You don't want to smell dust and, you know, the pigeon dust and pigeon skin scales, they're all over the place. So you want a good ventilation, a good circuit where air is coming in and out the whole time. Pigeons don't mind the cold. They like the cold, but just give them the right ventilation. If you're building one, it could be anything. It could be a shed that you converted into a racing loft, but make sure there's ventilation running. Going back to the question, what my loft is made of, you've seen my new loft. It was back in April where I constructed it. I have highlights on my Instagram account. You can check it out and see how I started from scratch. The measurements would be 16 foot by 6 and a 2-foot aviary. with made from galvanized steel, which is very strong material. The material from the outside, it's shiplap. It's a very expensive material, but it's well worth it. It's waterproof. All you need is just to paint it, and it'll look beautiful. And I have a well ventilated system. I have slide doors, 3-section slide doors, and there's ventilation coming from behind, from the north, and there's the aviary facing the south. Same thing with the trap; it's all facing the south. You want the birds to wake up and have some sun. It's beautiful. Also, you don't want the cold wind to get them. So always face a loft if you're going to construct a loft. Face it south, and wish you best of luck with it.
What kind of hardware do you use to join the races, and is there a website with the results? Here we have no answer from Salem, but I know that they are flying with Benzing. So let's listen to Sykes and Crawlers.
When I flew locally, the clocking system we used was TIPS.
When it came to racing my pigeons, I was always worried that I would lose time on trapping because I didn't have the ETS system. I had the manual clock where I had to clock the pigeon from the race, catch the pigeon immediately, so kind of even added more stress, removed the ring and had to clock it very fast. When you clock it, it prints on a paper, ink prints on a paper the time, hour, minute and second, the time the pigeon landed or clocked. So you have at least 1 minute lost, and that 1 minute would win you first place or first federation, whatever it was. So it kind of gave me a disadvantage. Of course, if I get back into racing, I will have this ETS system where the pigeon just comes in, lands on the board, and that's it. Pigeons clocked.
What does the pigeons give to you?
Having racing pigeons allowed me a lot of different things. I love the breeding aspect. Long-term success doesn't happen overnight. There is such a great challenge at creating your own family of pigeons, and this is something I'm working towards. It certainly gives me a variety of emotions, a sense of joy and happiness when my birds win or breed well for others. But also on the other side of the spectrum, I feel humbled, sad, disappointed when my birds don't perform. There are plenty of ups and downs in the sport, but I've made a lot of lifelong friends in racing pigeons, and for that, I'm very grateful.
So pigeons have brought me happiness. They've brought me a place where I get home from work and I rush to them, and I'm happy. I'm not tired anymore. They provide this kind of energy that no one kind of understands, but only pigeon fanciers and people that enter the world of pigeon will never get out of it. And it's a virus, and it's a real virus. It's not a joke. If you get into pigeons, you absolutely love their company, and they've served us in many, many occasions where they've served the military, they've served the pharaohs, they've served the Middle Ages, and they shouldn't be treated this way. They shouldn't be called street rats. They've always done good for us, and we humans should honor these animals because not only they're a sign of peace, but they bring joy. They bring happiness, and like I said, anyone that works or anyone that falls in depression and brings this animal in your life, whatever it is, but when you bring this pigeon in your life, racing pigeon sport, you overcome depression with no drugs, and that's your drug. You need a pet, you need an animal to love, and this is it. This is racing pigeon.
Oh, thank you very much. That was a good finish.
So, Smig, we had some really, really amazing informations now. What else can I say? It was great.
Yeah, what a great honor to have you here in our podcast. We want to thank you very much. Let's stay connected. So, Flap, I think we are coming to the end of the show. And so the end of the season one.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know yet if we want to do a second season. I think first I will have a lot of work in helping Flap with his new pigeon loft. Or what do you think, Flap?
Who knows what the future will bring, Smick. We will definitely stand behind our passion with a lot of joy and commitment and be open for everything to come.
Yeah, that's good to know. Thank you very much for listening, and a big thank you to you, Flap, for supporting this show. And yeah, you should know that I will support you in the future with your new loft, because you are very good located to do some pigeon sport. And I'm pretty sure we will convince your wife to keep pigeons in future.
We will. Of course we will. If not with pigeons, of course with anything else in life. I'm looking forward to this, and I hope we can work together in any way possible as soon as possible. And so, Smick, can I finish with my favorite phrase?
yes, please. Everybody wants to hear it.
As my grandmother always told me, Grandpa was a very wise guy, but don't believe everything he tells you, except the things about pigeons.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. So then, goodbye, au revoir, and yalla bye.